For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, and welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am super excited to welcome for the first time on this show, but not the first time on my podcast, because many, many years ago, she came on Talking Touchdown, the original podcast, back when I was 49ers fangirl and all the things, and Steph McCarroll was a co-host. But Steph Sanchez, the host of the 49 Carrots podcast, welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, but welcome back to Fangirl Sports Network.
Thanks for having me, Tracy. And yes, I definitely remember that. And I actually look back on that as like me being super cringe, because back then I didn't feel like I was very good at podcasting. So thankfully, I think I've gotten a little bit better, grown my chops quite a bit. So yeah, this time should be a lot better. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I remember you being great. I was very new to podcasting myself at the time. It was also a very different time in 49ers team history. Oh, yeah. Things were, so it almost feels like completely like different lifetime and a completely different team, because now you have a 49ers team who had been in several NFC championship games, who are just coming off a brutal Super Bowl loss. But nonetheless, the team that we talked about all those years ago, I don't even think they knew where the Super Bowl was, let alone had any chance of being in it. So it was a completely different time. So I'm excited to have you back and talk more. I was so excited a couple of months ago, which I can't believe it's now already like almost 2 months ago, when we were talking to John Lynch, the media were talking to John Lynch before the Super Bowl. And he specifically mentioned your Nick Bosa impression. And I thought that was so cool and amazing and awesome that he gave you the shout out. So that was cool. So ever since then, I was like, wait, I gotta have Steph back on the show. The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season, with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices, and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. So here we are, and I'm very happy to have you here. It is NFL free agency. I've been a frenzy of sorts, but yes and no. I mean, yes, it's been a frenzy, a lot of signings. We'll talk about that more in depth. I think the 49ers have gotten better, but we didn't see like the Javon Hargrave splash of last year, the Charvarius Ward splash of a couple years ago. But on the aggregate, I think the team is better. And let's start kind of by talking about that. They lose Arik Armstead, which I wouldn't say they've replaced him with one person, but I think the line has gotten better with everything they've done. Certainly defense and special teams has been the priority in this free agency time. Of course, they re-signed Colton McKivitz. They signed Brandon Parker today, just a few minutes before we went on air. This will go live Tuesday, but just a few minutes before we went on air on Monday. So Steph, I'm going to stop talking, because I can't seem to stop doing that here. And I would just kind of love your thoughts on the defensive line and really what the 49ers have done thus far.
Yeah, it definitely feels like right out of the gate, they wanted to emphasize defensive line. And yeah, like you mentioned, there wasn't like a big splash signing that we were all kind of expecting. But I think you can look at the moves and you can kind of see the clear replacement now, aside from Eric Armstead, because I think that's the only guy you're not really going to be able to replace with one other player, right? And it seems like at least Gross Matos knows, you know, you're not going to be able to replace Eric. So yeah, it just seems like a lot of incremental improvements to the defensive line based on who they've added. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that strikes me the most about the moves they've made is it looks like they want to get a little bit younger. Mm-hmm. And I think they also want to emphasize availability. You know, guys who can stay healthy, who have had that experience. I believe Leonard Floyd hadn't missed a game since 2017, right? And then, the other guys that they've added haven't missed a lot of time either. So I think that's a big point of emphasis for them to get fresher, younger. And then also just have some guys that have maybe a bit of versatility as well. Like I know Gross Matos could rush from inside and outside, something they had with Eric Armstead, something mm-hmm. they've had with Charles Omenihu in the past as well. And I think also it's very interesting to see how Brandon Staley fits into all this. And we don't know exactly what his specific role is going to be aside from assistant head coach, which is very, I think it's sort of vague. But I think seeing some of the guys they've added kind of makes me wonder, okay, what is his role in choosing some of these guys? Because some people mentioned like Leonard Floyd, for example, has experience, you know, rushing from a 2-point stance, right? He can stand up while rushing, more of an outside linebacker role. And I know a couple of other guys as well have that experience. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of new wrinkles they might add with some of these guys and with Brandon Staley.
So it's funny because Anthony Lynn was the assistant head coach before Brandon Staley, which leads one to believe that being a coach of the Chargers, head coach of the Chargers, will lead you to later being an assistant head coach of the 49ers. But Leonard Floyd was asked on our media Zoom today about his time with Brandon Staley and his thoughts of Brandon Staley. And he said, I mean, he lit up, to be perfectly honest with you. He literally lit up and he said, that's my guy. That is totally my guy. And then he talked about how he said, Brandon Staley, he doesn't even need to get paid. I'm sure Brandon Staley was listening to me like, well, actually, let's not go that far. But he's like, he doesn't need to get paid. He comes in every day and it's most important to him to help you get better. And he was like waxing poetic on Brandon Staley. And I think we've seen a few of these guys that they've signed have a pass with him. So, you know, the thing with Brandon Staley is he was a hell of a defensive coordinator. He was a terrible head coach with the Chargers, but he was a hell of a defensive coordinator and seems to be liked by his players. So it will be kind of interesting to see, especially when they're promoting Nick Sorensen from within, someone who, of course, be a brand new defensive coordinator, something he hasn't done before. I think Brandon Staley's presence is going to be helpful for the defense and to help kind of maybe meld everything together, for a lack of a better term. So I am curious to see kind of how that all works out. They've made it work out in the past, so I'm curious to see, and I think it will work. But the other thing with Leonard Floyd, you bring up availability. He was asked about that too. And he said, you know, it's sometimes I have nicks and knacks, I think is what he called it, but you just play through them. And I think he's played, I may have this number wrong, like 118 straight games. That's a lot of straight games in the NFL. I may have that number. No, I may not have that number entirely right, but I believe that that's what it is. And so Richard Sherman said it years ago, and he was not the first to come up with it, but he said it in a press conference after a game, the best ability is availability. And I think you're right. That was something that was certainly very important. And the getting younger. I mean, the Eric Armstead thing, I think, was hard because for 49ers fans, because he's been such a stalwart on that line. And he does, aside from what he does on the field, what he's done in the community in Sacramento and the Bay Area has been tremendous. But when they're looking at a business and looking at making his decisions, he's 30 years old. He's missed 13 games over the last couple of years. And if he wasn't able to take that pay cut, which I completely understand that from his side as well, it was time to get a little bit younger, finally get someone on the other side of Bosa. And then just kind of, I'm kind of imagining this line. It's like the rising tide. And I just feel like they kind of have all elevated a little bit, even though they lost one of their best players. The people they brought in as an aggregate, I think, makes them better.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that, you know, they're at a bit of a crossroads. Like, yes, they kind of understand this is their last best chance. You know, they've had a couple few best chances to get to the Super Bowl, but I feel like they feel like this is their last best chance before they have to retool and, you know, the Brock Purdy extension that we can assume is going to be quite large, right?
Yes.
And so how they're navigating that, I think we're seeing it in real time, right? And they're kind of setting it up with all these 1 year deals, a couple of 2 year deals. They're trying to figure out, okay, we want guys who, you know, want to help us get over that hump this year, but also maybe a couple guys we want to keep to help build that foundation for the next, you know, retooling and whatnot. So I think it's just interesting. You know, also, Tracy, like one thing I've noticed is like special teams seems to be another point of emphasis.
Well, there's a reason for that. And I think we all saw it all year long. And we saw something major in the Super Bowl, and that was kind of a fluke thing. Yeah. But, you know, that the fumbled punt in the Super Bowl was a fluke thing. You know, it bounced off Luter's leg. Ray McLeod decides to try to make a play and not fall. It was very like a confluence event. That being said, I think that play kind of summed up the 49ers special teams issues over the year and really the last several years. Special teams have been a problem. So we have seen what their priorities are, and I think they're right to address it. I know special teams is not something Kyle Shanahan likes to have to think about, but he has to think about it because it's been a problem. We've seen it be a problem, and they have really made a lot of moves to upgrade there.
Yeah, and I would say they're not done, probably. They still need to find, I think, a returner. I mean, Michigan gal, what do you think about Ronnie Bell and, you know, returning, you know, punts based on how he did there this past season?
Well, it's funny that you asked me that because I was going to ask you that, but I'm glad you asked me that because now we're talking about one of my favorite subjects. You know, Ronnie Bell is an interesting one because he started out, he was impressive in rookie minicamp. He was impressive in training camp. He fought to make the roster. I mean, a lot of people felt seventh round pick. He's not going to make the roster. Maybe he gets signed to the practice squad. This team has a history of doing decently with seventh round picks. And he did fight and make that roster. I think of Juwan Jennings. And I'm going to bring up Juwan because I think there's some parallels. Different issues, but there are some parallels. You know, Juwan was cut after his rookie year and then practice squad, and he really had to fight back. And look at him today. He was almost a Super Bowl MVP. They obviously extended the second round tender to Juwan, and he's a huge part of their offense. Ronnie's a different player, and it's different issues, but you had someone in Ronnie Bell who really the first half of the season played really well and surprised people. And then I think he got put in that position as returner because Ray got hurt. And I just think he wasn't prepared. And that's probably a little bit on Ronnie. I'm not taking that because it is your job to be prepared. But I think he wasn't entirely prepared for that. And he got thrown into that starting position and it was kind of a mess. I like to say that nobody can fumble a punt out of bounds quite as well as Ronnie Bell. So I will give him that. But it was not great. But you would hope that he learned a lot, that he would spend the offseason getting better. I think he has an opportunity. And I said this on Twitter, and I don't want to surprise you, but people on Twitter can sometimes get a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Excited, over the top. And there were people who said, I think he does have an opportunity here. They are going to have to bring someone else in because they cannot count on him being the opportunity, that he'll seize the opportunity. But I think he has an opportunity to show that perhaps it is something that he can do. This becomes an important season for Ronnie Bell. I think he has to have a very good training camp and a very good preseason to remain on that 53-man roster. And this is a place where he can show. He's really a very good route runner. And I think we did see him block well, though, of course, there were the couple of penalties that came with that were problematic. But I think he has an opportunity, but they have to bring someone else in because they can't count on him being that guy. And we'll see kind of what happens over the course of the next several months. And I would say a veteran. I don't think this is a position you want to draft again. I think you want to bring a veteran guy who really knows what he's doing. It's a much tougher position than one would think. I mean, it's really hard. And so, but that doesn't change the fact that he was drafted for a reason. I always felt Ronnie really was drafted as Ray Ray's replacement. So now, because he was on a one-year deal last year. So I think this is an opportunity for him to show that he can be that guy, but it's certainly by no means a guarantee.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said. Like, I definitely think you know, Ronnie started the season off on the right foot. And then for whatever reason, maybe it was the, you know, the rookie wool and maybe he was in the doghouse, you know, I don't want to say that, but, you know, maybe he got there, you know, by way of his special teams play or maybe some other things that I'm not privy to. But yeah, I think they are probably going to bring someone else in. If I had a guess, like you said, veteran, probably low to no guarantees on the contract, so that if Ronnie Bell does look good in camp and they feel good about him, you know, they can cut the other guy. But there definitely is going to be some competition. That's kind of what I'm noticing too about some of the moves they've made. I feel like they're insulating themselves very well. They're not assuming that any second year player is going to be the guy, because I kind of feel like they made that mistake last season with Drake Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like they kind of put some eggs in that basket, and you know, it didn't really work out how they expected to. And of course, you know, his season ended with injury as well. But you know, even before that, I don't think the performance was quite at the level they were hoping for him to take a second year leap. So I think they're kind of bringing in competition for those guys, and you know, seeing who rises to the top, right? So I think Chase Lucas, to me, is a bit of that as well. I know we mentioned the special teams aspect, but, you know, he does have some nickel corner experience as well. So the 49ers do need that. There's going to be some competition there. I think Isaac, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
As you were talking, I was sitting here thinking,
I wonder how she's going to pronounce
it. I'm going to pull it up, and I think I think it's Yadam. And I'm sure anybody listening would be more than happy to share with us on Twitter how we've said it wrong and how, right, if only we weren't girls, we would have said it. I'm sure that someone out there will be happy to share that with us. So please do. But I think with him, I'm glad you brought him up. I think he becomes a very interesting player because he's someone who improved over the season last season, which is always positive. He's someone that could sneak in there because I'm sure they will sign another corner in this. What they had going on last year with CB3 is not working, did not work. We already saw them cut Isaiah Oliver, and what they had going on was just not working. They need to figure that out. So whether they get someone else on the outside and then they move Lenore in at nickel permanently, or they get a true nickel, what they really wanted with Isaiah Oliver, and then they keep Lenore on the outside, and then they have their true nickel. They got to do something there. So I think Isaac, I'm just going to call him Isaac, as if we are old friends. I think Isaac is an interesting person there. I think that does create competition. I imagine they will sign another corner. I don't think it's going to be a huge, big name. I think they will sign another corner, and they will definitely draft a corner or two. I mean, I think everybody knows I want them to draft Mikey Sanders still, because I do think, I mean, take all my bias out of it, I think he actually is the best nickel in the draft. I just think if they're either going to have to take him at 31, which they're not going to do, or they're going to trade up to get him in the second round. I saw a mock draft today that had the Chargers trading up to take him, which just makes so much sense. But I get it.
Harb's going to get at least one Michigan guy. At least one.
And I got to try to go to Chargers HQ on Fridays and get Harb's and whoever he gets for predictable picks. I think we got to expand predictable picks outside of the 49ers locker room if that happens. But that is something that they need to address. And again, I don't think they're going to address it with like a huge name in free agency. Not there are that many huge names left, but there are a couple names. And I know people very to Tre'Darius White, and Mooney Ward kind of made his Twitter pitch the other night for that and said they had the same agent, but I don't think it's going to be that, but it will be interesting to see what they do there, because that is I was going to say sneaky low key area of concern, but it's not even sneaky and low key. We saw them almost lose two playoff games as a result of it. So it's something they got to figure out.
Yeah. So I like that signing a lot, and for whoever they do bring in, like, it wouldn't shock me, because there are a few nickel corners out there still in free agency, and a couple of them do have return experience as well. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't surprise me if they try to, you know, what's the saying? To uh, kill two birds with a stone.
With one stone. Kill two birds with one stone. Yep.
With one stone, yeah. So I think that'd be smart for them to do. To me, it'll be interesting too how they address safety. There's some talk as well about, I mean, Hufanga, right? Like he's not going to be, it's not certain that he's going to be ready right off the bat to play this season. Certainly there's more optimism than say a Drake Greenlaw, but you know, I think they can't assume that anyone's going to be ready coming back from injury or, you know, like I said, the second year players, you can't assume they're going to turn into the next best thing. You hope for it, but I think you still got to insulate yourself there as well. So I would expect them to also draft a safety. And then, I think a safety move in free agency is coming. Yeah. Probably not going to be a huge one, but, you know, I think just a veteran, I think would be great to pair with Jair Brown. You know, who knows? Maybe they even bring back Tashaun Gibson, right? On a 1 year deal again. I mean, there wasn't really like a drop off in his game. The question more so is, you know, is he going to decide to retire? But if he wants to continue playing, I think the 49ers would welcome him back. So I feel like that's still on the table for them.
Absolutely. And Logan Ryan. I mean, they pulled him off a Disney cruise and he played in the Super Bowl. I mean, he took over that position. So it'll be interesting to see. Well, he really played nickel package in the Super Bowl, but I think he showed them something that maybe everybody wasn't expecting to see. And I'm not saying that Logan Ryan is the long-term answer, but I wouldn't be surprised if they bring back a couple guys like that. But I agree. They're going to sign another veteran safety. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be a huge splash move. And the reality is this team doesn't need a lot of huge splash moves. I mean, they lost by 3 points in overtime to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. They didn't get blown out. They didn't lose to the Packers in week one. It would have been interesting to see, had they lost the Packers in week one, what would this free agency have looked like? And were they going to, you know, blow it all up? But they didn't, not week one game. I think week one of the playoffs for them is what I'm trying to say. And don't mean week one of the season. But I think they don't need huge splash moves, but they need some retooling and there are places they need to get better. And the defense was not what it was. I think if you would put that 2019 defense with this 49ers offense, it would be a very different situation. But that defense wasn't even what it was last year. And there are a variety of reasons for that that we've all talked about over and over again, multiple times. Changes were made, but there were things that needed to be fixed. And I had felt going into the playoffs, they were very vulnerable because I really didn't think that the defense played all that well the entire season. And even in the games, the first five games this season where everyone was like, this is like the best defense, this is the 2019 defense all over again. Then they go on that three-game streak. And when I looked back at it, the defensive issues were the same. They were just made up for by a couple key plays and an offense that was playing at an extremely high level. But the issues in that three-game losing streak were the same issues in the five-game win streak. And Kyle Shanahan kind of said that. You know, he kind of said, like, you guys look at these games and there's a lot of stuff that we're doing wrong. And I felt that it was that way throughout the season. And I felt throughout the season, the defense was lucky with a few key turnovers that literally, no pun intended, turned things around. But there were games they did not play well. The issues were there all year long. And so I felt they were vulnerable going into the playoffs. And so it did not surprise me that they ended up losing in the Super Bowl because I felt they were going to play a perfect game to beat Patrick Mahomes. They did not play a perfect game or even close to it. And there were just retools that needed to be made.
Interesting enough, like I not to go back to the Super Bowl, because I know we've talked about that like quite a bit, you know, these past couple months. But, you know, I do feel like the defense played well enough, I thought, in the Super Bowl, which, you know, there were rumors that Kyle Shanahan had a hand in that, the defensive game plan, right? And if that's certainly the case, I mean, yeah, that just summarizes all of the issues that kind of led up to that, right? That I think it was pretty obvious to anyone who followed the 49ers all throughout the season what was really going on there and why this was probably the likely scenario that the 49ers would be bringing in a new defensive coordinator this season. Again, like looking back at some of the guys they've lost, I think they've made small upgrades to almost, if not all, of those positions. So I'm happy with the moves they've made so far. The one we haven't talked about is Devondre Campbell.
No, we have not. I want to clarify one thing before we get to him. I agree the defense played well enough in the Super Bowl. I just felt they were vulnerable throughout the playoffs and going
for
into
sure.
it. And I think they did play well enough at the end. There was a pretty major miscue, and that was probably the difference. I think they lost the game on. I've gone on record with this a million times. I think they lost the game on the fumbled punt, and that was basically the ball game. They did play well enough. I just felt they were vulnerable, and I think they still probably needed to play a little bit better. But yes, let's talk about him because he is a good signing, another kind of sneaky signing, and he seems to think he has not been used properly or respected properly throughout his career, and so he seems very excited to come to Santa Clara.
Yeah, so that one's interesting, right? Because he had the 2021 All-Pro season, mm-hmm. and then after that, his production, kind of fell off a cliff a little bit, especially in coverage. Mm-hmm. Him saying I was badly misused is what he said exactly. okay, I'm listening, yep. right? So I think now we just kind of have to wait and see how that unfolds in the season. He is one of the guys they've brought in that is kind of up there in age. I believe he's 31, right? Or he's 30 or 31. So, and obviously he's the bridge linebacker until Dre Greenlaw returns. And then I assume, maybe he'd kick out to be the third linebacker once Greenlaw is back. But I guess like there's even no guarantees with Greenlaw as well, right? So right. I think this is a good signing. He has a lot of experience. We'll just have to wait and see what that looks like. I think, of course, he's going to be motivated to play well. So, I'm excited to see what that one brings. Maybe the 49ers draft a linebacker as well. I still don't think linebackers finish. They always like to draft linebackers. I know they brought back Flanagan Fowles. I think that's good for special teams. I think it's good for linebacker depth. Mm-hmm. He has a pretty favorable base salary for the team. I think linebacker, I feel better about it right now at this moment.
And one has to assume they really like what they've seen out of Campbell because, like you said, with Dre Greenlaw, there's just no guarantee. It's a tough injury. It happened in mid-February, which just means it's going to take some time. And so you don't entirely know when he's coming back. And if I'm the 49ers, I would be signing people that I think have the potential to be there at least the first half of the season because you just don't know. I have no idea. I am not a doctor and I am not in charge, so I have no idea when Dre Greenlaw will be back. None of us really do. But it is just a tough injury and it takes time to come back from. And I think we even saw with Richard Sherman with his first year in San Francisco, he'd come back from the Achilles injury. And do you remember he kept having kind of nagging calf stuff? Like it kept happening to him. And so you just, I think, don't know how all these things, play out. So I think they have to bring people in that they're at least comfortable putting out there for a while if needed. So one would assume that it is the case with him. So be curious to see. You mentioned Flanagan Fowles. I agree with you. That is more of a special teams and depth move, but someone who's been there, familiar with that defense and familiar with the team. So there's that. But I agree with you. I don't think they're done. And there's good linebackers in this draft. And I think you can kind of go, this draft is really good for nickels, for linebackers, and for wide receivers. This is a very deep draft for those three positions. Someone they lost that also came up right before we recorded, Chase Young, barely knew ya. He wasn't there that long. I don't really think his play showed that they were going to keep him beyond the season. He did play very well in the Super Bowl. He did play very well in the Super Bowl. And he was probably always going to be too expensive. But I don't think there was anything really about his play throughout as the season went on that made one think they were going to really fight to bring him back.
Well, I just always go back to what John Lynch said when they brought him in. And one of the things he said was comp pick, He mentioned Compic.
Yeah.
I mean, that tells you right there kind of the motivation, besides obviously needing another edge, mm-hmm. you know, to for the rest of the season, but also kind of looking into the future and seeing what other value it can bring beyond his time in San Francisco, which is getting a comp pick back for him, which would probably be a pretty decent one, right? So, I don't think his play warranted bringing him back over the idea of getting the comp pick back, you know.
So a good way to put it.
That's exactly how I saw it. I know, you know, a lot of fans were really thinking they could bring him back. I know Nick Bosa, you know, probably wanted him back, but you know, for the team, I don't think it made a whole lot of sense. I think, you know, just moving on from that and getting the comp pick was probably the better move.
And something else that we haven't really talked about, and actually Barros and I talked about it last week on the pod, but I think it's worth bringing up, and I'd love kind of your thoughts on it from your perspective too, is that, you know, in the NFC Championship game, and they were pretty open about it after, John Lynch and Steve Wilks, there were effort issues, and they were saying those had to be dealt with internally. And those effort issues, you watch some of those plays and you could point to exactly who had the effort issues. And it's more than one person. It was multiple people. And it was, that also is kind of an interesting thing with these signings. It also feels like guys that feel kind of hungry. You have someone like Campbell, who's like, I've been misused, and all, you know, all these, and like Leonard Floyd said, 49ers didn't BS around. They told me right out of the gate they wanted me, and I like that, and I want to go to the playoffs. I want to go to the Super Bowl. And it just felt like, it feels like generally that is something that stood out and is obviously not going to happen again. But from your perspective, and I know we're going back, but I think it's important in looking forward that, I mean, as a fan, like, how do you feel about the fact that this is a team you love and the guys on the field in the NFC Championship game are like, well, like, maybe that guy will get him. Maybe he'll get him. Well, maybe not.
Yeah. It was strange, right? Because that's something we hadn't really seen as part of the Kyle Shanahan era defense that they had out on the field. It was always all gas, no brakes, you know, swarm. And, you know, you don't want to feel like the team not having a mantra is the reason that, you know, that there was effort issues, but maybe, I mean, I don't know. There's definitely, I think a shift maybe in philosophy, or just not the same type of energy that they were used to. Right. And so I think that translated onto the field. I think, yeah, it looked exactly like someone, every player was waiting for the other guy to make the play. Oh, well, you're in front of him. Like, why don't you make the tackle? Yeah. Whereas in the past, like, that's not what we saw at all. It was always this selfless, I'm making this tackle kind of thing. And one thing I'll say about lack of effort, it's the same as effort. I think it's contagious. If you see a guy going all out, like, that makes you want to do the same thing. And I think that's what this defense had prided itself on for, you know, as long as we had known it, right? So I think seeing that change in, and mostly in the playoffs, that's what was so egregious
to
me.
That's what's so weird about it.
So, yeah, because it's like, listen, if you can't get motivated for the playoffs, the chance to play in a Super Bowl, like, I don't know what to tell you, you know, that was troubling. Right. Yeah. And so I think it, just because it's the only thing that I think changed, it's easy to point the finger at Steve Wilks. But I think players had to look themselves in the mirror, too. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're the ones going out there and have to execute. Right. So we just weren't seeing that. It was strange. It seems like it was addressed, right? Because the Super Bowl, we saw a different defense that looked hungry. They looked ready.
We saw some changes hopefully. On defense. We saw some people not play defense who'd been playing defense for most of the season. We saw things were shifted around. It was addressed and it was dealt with.
Yeah. So hopefully we don't see it this season.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I would not point to Steve Wilks on that either. I think that's a player thing. You know, Fred Warner said something about midseason where he said, at the end of the day, players win football games. Coaches do not win football games. And I think maybe coaches can make decisions to put your players in better positions to win. It may be decisions that could cause loss. But at the end of the day, like, if a player on the field in the playoffs can't get up for the playoffs, that's on the player. That's not a coaching problem, because there's no chance that Steve Wilks was like, hey guys, whatever, good luck. Effort, no effort, your choice. Like, that's a thing.
My wonder is, I mean, we as fans or just as people that follow the team could see kind of the obvious rift ever since like the bye week on between Kyle Shanahan and Steve Wilkes. So I don't know if the players saw that too. And it was like, I don't like if there wasn't that trust factor between those two, was there an issue with trust between the players and him? That's the only thing I wonder, but
I don't think so. I would say from being in the locker room and talking to them, I don't really think that was a thing, because I think at the end of the day, they did want, despite the lack of effort issues, right? But they did want to win. And I don't think players like when their coaches are getting all the blame and everything dumped on that. I don't think so just from talking to them all the time, but whatever happened there, I don't think we'll see it again, but it was strange. But we're seeing changes, and I think we're seeing people brought in, and I think there's a reason, not just coaching changes, but personnel changes as well, and player personnel changes. So that's kind of interesting to see. We haven't talked all about that much about offensive line mentioned at the beginning, but I think, you know, the thing with the O-line that's interesting, and I've definitely talked a lot about how the first half of the Super Bowl, it felt like Brock Purdy's protection was great, and the second half kind of fell off. But, you know, all in all, this offensive line played really well this season. And I do think the 49ers have to address the right side of the line. Obviously, I think they have to start preparing for a lack of Trent Williams. I think they want to they have to at least prepare for that. But they re-signed Colt McKivitz, as I said, early in the pod. They signed Brandon Parker. I think this is something we're going to see in the draft as well. This is a pretty big O-line draft. I imagine they're going to be addressing that basically for the most part in the draft. It certainly feels like it at this point.
Yeah, I think based on all the moves so far being primarily on defense, yeah, I think that's a pretty safe assumption. And I'm okay with that. You know, like it's so hard to find good offensive linemen through free agency. And if you do, you're paying and maybe even overpaying for their services, right? We saw the guard market explode this free agency. And by the way, 49ers getting back John Feliciano on a one-year deal. Yeah. To me, that's great value for what he was able to provide to the team and being able to play at multiple spots. I loved bringing him back. And yeah, I mean, this is the year that you want to address tackle and looking at, you know, maybe bringing in some competition for Colton McKivitz. You know, they extended him. So he's signed through 2025, but you know, competition is good. And at the very least, you can get someone who you're grooming to be Trent Williams' replacement. Right. Yeah. So, this is the draft to do it. And so it definitely seems like the 49ers are setting themselves up to be able to do that. And that's why I like the way they've handled free agency so far. Mm-hmm. I also think bringing Ben Bartsch back and along with signing Brandon Parker, you know, just depth, you know, guys who are going to compete, you know, during camp and just kind of seeing how it all shakes out. Right. So yeah, I think we're going to see offensive line addressed in the draft, and they're going to let the chips fall where they may.
And one thing this team is pretty good at is, and we saw it with Isaiah Oliver, they might make a move. We saw it with Nate Sudfeld and Brock Purdy. They guaranteed Nate Sudfeld money, but Brock Purdy, as we've now learned, Kyle Shanahan thought he was the best quarterback on the roster, but that was Brock Purdy won that job. And with Isaiah Oliver, they gave him that 2-year deal. And halfway through the season, he lost maybe, or even less than halfway through the season, lost his job. And then he was cut. Like, they're not going to sit around and be like, well, we did this, so we got to keep him. And so extending Colt McKivitz, if they bring someone in who ends up giving him competition and playing better, it doesn't change anything. I mean, they're not going to not do that. So this team, I think, is really good about that. And I think they're good at kind of cutting their losses, for lack of a better term. And so I think it will be kind of interesting to see how camp plays out at that position for sure. So before I let you go, though, I am going to ask you if you're comfortable sharing at this juncture your very early draft crush. I guess it's not even that early.
Ooh.
I know, I surprised you with this one.
I have thought about it. I do my draft sheet every year. So, you know, I've seen who the 49ers are meeting with. That is kind of like you get some themes as to maybe what they're interested in. Look, I will say a draft crush, and it's not offensive line, so fans don't come for me. But, you know, I think Kool-Aid McKinstry would be awesome. awesome. If
his name is Kool-Aid.
It's like, it's kind of his nickname.
I know, but I like it.
But like, it's awesome. You got to roll with it. You know, it's like,
well, what I want to know is like, when we meet him, like, am I like, hi, Kool-Aid, I'm Tracy. And we're going to do five fun facts. Like, how is this?
Yeah.
I mean, I know his given birth name was not Kool-Aid. That would be so cool if it was. But I'm into that. And I'm into the idea of going to talk to him in the locker and be like, Kool-Aid, do you have a minute? I'm so into that. So,
and your first question has to be, what's your favorite Kool-Aid flavor, right? Like, that
has to be.
It has to be.
It would be remiss.
Right. Right. So he would be one. He would be one for me. I mean, the injury that he had that they discovered at the combine, I think, could potentially get him to fall. So if he makes it a 31, I don't think the 49ers should hesitate at that point. And based on the moves they've made so far, I think they're set up pretty well to go best player available if that's what they want to do. But as far as offensive linemen, you know, I think Amarius Mims is a really intriguing one. He's huge. He's a tank. I think, you know, he doesn't have a lot of starts under his belt, but definitely someone that I think the 49ers could develop and groom. And by the way, I mean, develop makes it seem like he's super raw, but when he's played, he's been awesome. Like, so maybe there isn't even a lot of development that really needs to go on there, just some little refinement. But that would be an awesome pick, I think, at 31 if he's able to make it there.
Well, it's so funny because we talk so much about Chris Kocurek and how he's able to develop players along the defensive line. And he's incredible. And what he does with players is incredible. But who we don't talk about as much on the other side is Chris Foerster, who does an incredible job with players on the offensive line. So if someone like Mims come in under Foerster, I think could really flourish and flourish quickly. And I don't know. I think those are both good crushes. Good job.
Well, now we need one of yours.
Well, we all know Mikey Stammer still is my number one. So there's that. Number one, because the man, I don't have stats for this, but I know it to be true. He led the country in making a play when necessary. And I was at three of the biggest games of the year, and he did lead the country in making a play whenever left necessary. So I'm going to give him that. He's my number one. That I have another one. It's also a Michigan guy. I don't want to shock anybody, but this isn't someone, they wouldn't take him at 31. But when you talk about injuries and somebody who may fall, but who although had a terrible injury, injured it in the right place and is expected to make a perfectly full recovery, is Zach Center, because he's a hell of a football player, a hell of an offensive lineman. And I think that could be a high value pick because they may be able to get him later because of the injury. And I've always been a really big Zach Center fan. So those are my two biggest draft crushes. And it's probably because it's the team I know the most. Somebody said to me at the combine, I was pitching Michigan players like all over the place. And someone said to me, the only problem with your draft analysis is everyone you're talking about is fantastic, but you have to compare them to the other people at their positions. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't.
You're like, my Michigan guys could be anyone.
Exactly. I really don't. I'm like, I guess I understand if I were actually in charge of the draft, maybe I would have to do that. No,
go ahead. You can have fun with it. I mean,
I would have a great time. I was asked if they drafted all Michigan guys, could I get all of them on camera? Someone asked it for a predictable pick. I was like, absolutely. Is that a challenge? Of course.
Right.
No problem. No problem. If that is the deterrent, don't worry. I got this. It wasn't a Fortnite person who asked me, but it was just asked. And so I was, which made me happy that people are watching predictable picks. So I'm very happy about that. I know I need Ronnie Bell to really come back with the vengeance because he's one of my cast members.
I think so. His time's coming. Like maybe even just as a wide receiver, like maybe not the return stuff. I don't know if that's his jam so much, but as a receiver, I think he's going to be great.
And in fairness to Ronnie, in college, he didn't do a ton of returning.
Right.
He did some, but he didn't do a ton of it. So we'll see. Time will tell. Because, Steph, it is March 18th and we're recording this, and they are not playing a real football game till September. So we will know a lot more then. But this was fun. I'm so glad that we were able to work this out today. This was awesome. Tell everybody where they can find you, please.
Yes, I am on all the socials at Steph49K. And you can find my podcast, 49 Carats Podcast, on YouTube or anywhere you get your podcasts.
And you can find me on Twitter at TracyFGSN or X or whatever we're calling it, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler. We are brought to you by Bet Online. And if you guys like what you heard, and I know that you did, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating and an uber positive review. And with that, I will talk to everybody next time. Bye, all. Thank you, Steph.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.